County. And my people in Lake County are telling me that our next guest may or may not have set the course record at Pine Ridge earlier today. They said he looked a lot like Jack Nicklaus out on the links. He's Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing well, but I think your contacts lied to you.
Hey, it wouldn't be the first time, that's for sure. Well, lots to catch up on today, my friend, and we'll begin with the Major League Baseball slate. It's a little bit shorter than we were anticipating, and I think that's something that might happen quite a bit throughout the rest of the baseball season. But you examined a wide variety of different games, and I want to begin with one of the first games that you wrote about today at BangTheBook.com. Rick Porcello and the Mets facing Sean Newcomb and the Braves tonight. You like the Braves in this one. Why is that?
Yeah, I think when you look at Rick Porcello, just the command's not there. I mean, the sinker is very, very hittable these days. The slider doesn't look very good either. The Braves have a very good offense, although they've been a little bit inconsistent here in the early part of the season. Sean Newcomb is a guy that, you know, pitched in relief a little bit last year, and it sort of caused him to simplify his arsenal a little bit, kind of find what works for him. We saw that several years ago with the Indians with Carlos Carrasco, where, you know, going to the bullpen was just kind of a light bulb for him, where he started pitching from the stretch exclusively, started kind of paring down that arsenal a little bit. I think Sean Newcomb is the kind of guy that can have success with that as well. And again, Porcello, just the command is not good. He throws strikes, but they're not quality ones. I do like the Braves here today to put up a pretty big number against Porcello, and I think Newcomb in the bullpen will keep the Mets at bay.
Well, so should certainly be a good NL East matchup there, no doubt about it. Looking at our neck of the woods here with the Indians, seems like you're passing on the Tribe and Twins matchup. A good AL Central matchup could be your two tops of the division right there. Mike Clevinger going up against Randy Dobnik. What scared you about this one?
Yeah, I think what really scared me here is the Indians aren't hitting. I mean, you know, they've gotten elite-level starting pitching from everybody that's had a start here so far, but they're not hitting. They had that big explosion on Sunday. Jose Ramirez hit a couple home runs. They scored 9 runs against the Royals in that one. Otherwise, they really haven't looked great. And Randy Dobnik is a guy that, you know, not a high strikeout rate, doesn't issue a lot of walks, a ground ball type of guy. The Indians aren't stringing anything together right now. So I think Dobnik could have a little bit of success against them. The Indians just haven't gotten enough of those big hits here so far. I do think Clevinger probably is a little bit more efficient than he was in his first start. But at the same time, Clevinger allowed a lot of hard contact. The velocity was down a little bit. His spin rates were down a little bit. And the Twins are a much better lineup than what he saw last week with the Royals. So it's a tough spot. I think maybe you look for a little bit of a higher scoring game potentially if the Indians can get, you know, those big hits with men on base. But it's just a tough game to handicap. Even though Clevinger is clearly on paper much better than Dobnik, the fact that the Indians' offense isn't doing a whole lot right now does concern me quite a bit.
It's a lot to be concerned about with that lineup now. Certainly there are some underliers there. I mean, Jose Ramirez has hit the ball really well. Cesar Hernandez has done a nice job as a table setter. And you look at what they're getting right now as well from Domingo Santana. There certainly have been some guys that have stood out. But yesterday, Adam, we examined Frankie Lindor. And he did add the big two-run bomb yesterday. He leads the team right now with 6 RBIs. But on the whole, his situational numbers aren't great. And I think we're still a little bit too early in the year to get too crazy. Not just about Lindor, but a lot of these guys. I mean, Franmil Reyes is another guy. He's not blowing anybody away. He's got no extra base hits. He has just 5 overall on the season. At what point do you think we can no longer use the excuse for this offense that it's too early to worry?
Oh, that's a really loaded question. I mean, you know, you had the unique format with the summer camp trying to get ready for the season and all that type of thing. I think for Lindor right now, I mean, quite frankly, and I don't know if I'm, you know, really qualified to say this, but it feels like a focus issue. You know, the pitch recognition has been very, very bad. He's out on his front foot. His pitch recognition is just not there. He's swinging a lot of breaking balls in the dirt. It just seems like, you know, he's got a lot of other things on his mind. I mean, he's kind of an ambassador for baseball. You know, he was sort of kind of at the forefront of the, you know, Indians team name discussion. And of course, he's had, you know, some public comments about Chief Wahoo and stuff like that too. And obviously, you know, as we know, the Indians aren't going to sign him. So he's kind of wondering where his next stop is going to be. And it seems like it's kind of leaking over to the performance side a little bit in that he's trying to do too much. He's diving out at balls that he has no business swinging at. Kind of been a problem for everybody. The Indians have not made a lot of hard contact this year. Not a lot of barrels, lots of swing and misses, lots of guys cheating fastball and getting breaking balls. Maybe it's a hitting coach issue. I don't know. But, I mean, when is it? You know, when can you say it's not too early anymore? Pretty soon, because they're only playing 60 games instead of 162. And the pitching, as great as it has been, as great as those guys are, they can't possibly keep carrying this team the way that they have. So they need to start hitting, need to start reading and reacting a lot better to the pitches that they're getting.
150% agree with all of that. I think maybe by the end of this weekend, because at that point you've got three series and you've got all three of them against divisional foes too. So I don't really think that at the end of this weekend, if we're talking about or criticizing this offense, that we can sit there and say, well, you know, it's still kind of early, because you're right. In a 60-game season, at the end of this particular series on Sunday against the Twins, the Indians will have played 10 games, so that excuse will no longer hold up at that point.
And it's not even like they've faced elite pitching. I mean, the Royals' pitching staff is not good. Giolito is great for the White Sox to a degree, but other than that, nobody for the White Sox is that good. You know, and then Berríos last night, I thought Berríos would have taken a leap last year with a new pitching coach, with what Minnesota's done from an analytical standpoint on the pitching side. Berríos didn't make a leap last year, and he pretty much shut them down yesterday. So, you know, they ran up the pitch count a little bit, but not a whole lot of hard contact. They don't have any excuses. They're not facing their own rotation. They're not facing elite-level pitching. They're just not getting the job done.
Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, we focus our attention away from the diamond and onto the ice. The NHL returning to play this weekend. Taking a look at this slate of qualifying round action, and while we're on that topic, you can catch the Blue Jackets on Sunday night here on WEOL as they take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll come back around to that matchup here in just a moment, but outside of that matchup, since we've isolated it already, what other games stand out in this qualifying round from a handicapping perspective?
This qualifying round is going to be fascinating. You know, you've got some teams that really lived on their goaltending during the regular season. A team like the Winnipeg Jets, for example, Connor Hellebuck was amazing in the regular season. Great high danger save percentage, just great numbers overall. Really carried that team, even though they didn't play very well. They take on the Calgary Flames here. Calgary's a little bit of a favorite in the minus 130 range. But that's a big question that I have, is what do these goaltenders look like? You know, they played kind of some inter-squad scrimmage games. They played one exhibition game in the Hub City. Those goaltenders are probably going to dictate what happens in a lot of those series. If Hellebuck isn't elite like he was during the regular season, Calgary probably moves on. You look at Pittsburgh, the biggest favorite in the qualifying round. Can Carey Price for Montreal be the difference? Can he be a guy that goes out there and steals this series for the Canadians? It's possible. There are a ton of unknowns when you talk about this qualifying round in the NHL playoffs. You've got some teams that have kind of passed the torch. Nashville going with UC Saros instead of Pekka Rinne. That's something that, you know, you really wouldn't have thought about in previous postseasons. You've got some younger guys, Igor Shesterkin for the Rangers over Henrik Lundqvist. How do the goaltenders do in these qualifying rounds? That's probably going to dictate who advances, and it's very, very hard to handicap that at this point in time.
Well, we mentioned we'd focus the attention on the Columbus Blue Jackets, and your write-up over at BangTheBook.com, you mentioned that the Jackets are a live dog. What do you think makes them such a popular pick in this series?
Yeah, when you look at Columbus, I mean, the goaltending is a big question. You know, will Jonas Korpisalo play well? Will it be Elvis Merzlikins that winds up getting the starts? We don't necessarily know that as of yet. John Tortorella is going to announce that here on Saturday. But what we do know is that the Blue Jackets were one of the most injured teams during the regular season. They lost a lot of man games, a lot of quality personnel to injury. All of those guys, for the most part, are back now. Toronto is not good in their own zone. They are a very, very adept and skilled offensive team. They are a bad defensive zone team. Columbus is a very good defensive zone team. So if the Blue Jackets get some goaltending, if they can be opportunistic enough with their power play chances and some of their offensive chances in transition, they can very well pull the upset here. I don't know if their goaltending will be better than Frederik Andersen for the Maple Leafs, but I think there's a good chance that that happens. And because of that, because of the fact that they're now healthy, and because Tortorella is just really, really good, he's a master motivator in these types of situations, I think the Blue Jackets are a very dangerous team here in the qualifying round.
And again, a reminder that coming up on Sunday night, as a matter of fact, 7 o'clock airtime for us with the Blue Jackets taking on the Maple Leafs. We'll have you covered here on WEOL. Adam, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for the insight. And we look forward to doing this again next week. Hopefully next week when we have you on, there will be a full slate of baseball games to talk about without any postponements or cancellations because of this doggone virus.
Absolutely. Take care, Andy. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Adam. You do the same. Again, that's Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. We urge all of you to check out BangTheBook.com. Adam has some sensational information. Every day he has his Major League Baseball betting picks, and even if you aren't into the betting or the handicapping scene, there is loads and loads of great information for you to use, and it really kind of helps out, if for nothing else, just your enjoyment of the game in general. So check out bangthebook.com, and you can also give Adam a follow as well at Skating Tripods on Twitter. That's at Skating Tripods.